From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 6th day of June 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, a top official of the Federal Reserve says it's difficult to pinpoint just what effect the second round of quantitative easing has had on the U.S. economy. And the Obama administration is dumping the long-lived food pyramid. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour. Hey, and don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy. John Davis will be here to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby July contract and the soft red winter wheat at $7.44 a bushel, down 29 and three quarters. September at $7.90 and a quarter, 29 and a quarter lower, and next year's July at $8.95, 23 and a quarter lower. July corn futures in Chicago, $7.32 for the lead option, down 22. September at $7.11 and a half, down 19 and a half, and December futures $6.67 a bushel, down 19 and a quarter cents. March futures $6.78, down 19 and a quarter. The May at $6.85 and a quarter, down 19. July at $6.92 for next year, down 18 and three quarters. And December of 2012 settled $6.05 a bushel, down 7 and a quarter. July soybeans at $13.83 and a quarter, down 31 and a quarter. The August at $13.77 and three quarters, down 29 and three quarters. And November beans at $13.72 and three quarters, down 24 and a quarter for the day. July of next year at $13.70 and three quarters, down 18 and a half. And November 2012 at $13.32 and a quarter, down 24 and three quarters. Bean meal down $9 at $3.59.40. Bean oil down 70 cents at $58.03. Live cattle futures finished the contract at $102.40 in the June, down $1.77 and a half. The August at $103.32 and a half, down $1.77 and a half as well. August feeder cattle at $124.10, down 15 cents. September at $125.17 and a half, 62 and a half lower. And June lean hogs up 47 and a half cents today at $89.70. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil futures trading in the July at $98.76, down $1.46. Ethanol at $2.60, down 4 9/10 of a cent. Natural gas at $4.82 8/10 of a cent, up 12 1/10 of a cent. And the heating oil or diesel fuel down 4 6/10 of a cent at $3.09 of a cent. Gold futures finished $4.80 higher at $1,546.50 an ounce. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now just about 50 points lower at 12,101. The U.S. dollar at 73.95, down 0.17, actually up 0.17. And the CRB index at 345.39, down 3.2 on the day. The weather forecast looks like this for the two-state region, actually for the Urbana-Champaign area. Sunny skies this afternoon, a high of 92 degrees. South-southwest winds at 11 to 13, though gust as high as 16. Tonight, mostly clear, a low of 72. South-southwest winds at 8 to 10. And Tuesday, sunny and hot, a high near 96 degrees. Winds out of the southwest again at 8 to 15 miles an hour. The dew points won't be completely, they'll be relatively high at about 70 degrees. And that tells us from our own Ted Funk at University of Illinois Extension and Ag Engineering that the dairy folks need to be out and making sure there are shade structures available for those animals, as well as putting a little water on their back, not in mist, but in full raindrop size, and turning the fans on so that they don't go off feed in the dairy industry. Sunny and hot continues on Wednesday at 95 degrees. Thursday, a 40% chance of showers, 87 degrees. And Friday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. The high then, just near 82 degrees. So we'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour and we talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, up on the 23rd floor of the Boeing building.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On the phone line this afternoon, as we make our way through a Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It was an ugly day in Chicago. The speculators, according to the wire service, decided to dump out because it's going to be hotter and drier, and the planters should roll in the eastern corn belt. Is that right?
Yeah, there's some tremendous headway being made in the eastern belt. In fact, I've got some producers in Ohio there that's gotten their corn in, so they're pretty happy right now. And had some guys along the Ohio River Valley who had anywhere from 6 to 8 feet of water over their farm, and they're getting corn in right now as we speak. So ideas are that we'll gain them some momentum here. And we've had, cool, damp weather now, a little warm, maybe a little bit more moisture as we go along here is going to help the corn crop look a little bit better as we go down the road. Past history, too, when we've been, too wet going in the spring, oftentimes you have a couple weeks of consolidation for the weather pattern to turn or get worse before the market reacts. So there's some timing in here suggests that maybe the market can consolidate until we get in some more reports and see where we are as we get into that late June, early July time window, Todd.
That brings to mind two questions. The first, which is, what will the USDA NAST report show this afternoon for crop progress across the nation and in particular for Ohio?
Well, as far as the nation, I think the trade kind of dialed into corn being 90%. 93% planted, beans around 70%. As far as Ohio goes, there's estimates in this 80 to 85% on corn being planted. So we'll see where they come in at. And that may set the trend tonight as far as a little new fresh fundamental news to go from.
That would be a large jump. They went from 11% to 19% to 85% this week?
They went hard. Not all producers went 24/7, but there's quite a few that put in some big days, and they cover a lot of territory. Like I mentioned, we don't work with a whole lot of producers in Ohio, but the ones we work with are done with corn.
All right, and then the secondary question on this one is December futures did not hold above the contract highs, the previous contract high, life of contract high, and broke below that today. How important might that be to the marketplace?
That's a concern as a technician. If you follow the technicals, had a breakout going, did not follow through. In fact, we had a little hook reversal down, made a new low high and closed lower. So the market's inability to hold those gains is concerning from the technical point. We've turned all the momentum indicators down, and that's why we're seeing the selling pressure we are. For those who follow the technicals on the short-term scale have seen red flashing sell signals, and they're taking that into consideration. We kind of feel we need to watch this 665 level. Today's low is 65.5. A penetration of that would suggest we've got some more downside. The classic to sort of stop this bleeding would be to see it trade lower tonight and finish higher tomorrow. Then that would give us a reason to maybe see a little short covering ahead of Thursday morning's reports there, Todd.
And 655 would be a 50% retracement of the current move up?
Yeah, you got the different retracements coming in there, some speed lines. There's several technical things that sort of all fall in place and through there.
All right. And then what are you telling producers if they've called in today and they're a little perturbed by the move lower?
Well, basic answer is we should have sold it Friday. No, that's a good question. Wish I could, I should, I would have. It's been a real popular response. But as a producer at this point, we recommend sitting tight here. We had guys make some sales and replace ownership of all call options, still have ownership on paper here. We've got some put options, some hedges on, covered hedges. We want to see how the market moves here. We've been encouraging selling all along and through here, sort of scaling up into it. So as a producer, I don't think there's any need to panic just yet. We need to see some confirmation if this thing's going to roll over. That's the biggest fear is that weather cooperates. Speckly crowd wants to exit the arena here. It could put quite a bit of pressure on the marketplace here over time here until we find some new fundamental event to bring the public back in on the buy side.
Well, talk to me just a bit about the fundamentals that are in play at this point. Demand is weakening?
Well, it's spotty. The biggest demand news is, well, you've heard it too, is some of these spot bids for August.
Brian?
Huge. I mean, anywhere from 30, 50 on the low end, as much as 60, 80 on the high end over for August corn. But we got to remember that demand's being filled now. These end users are pretty sharp guys. Well, I can't say all of them are, but some of them, you know, like to get some coverage on ahead of time. So you got to be fearful that maybe we're fulfilling that demand now instead of later. I know some people we talk to hear that news and say, man, wait till we get there. It's really going to be high then. Well, that might not be the case because they've already got bought ahead, and that's something to keep in the back of our mind. But it's going to be spy. That's why you got to stay flexible and have different options to go different ways. And that's probably going to continue through the growing season as these spot bids become hot and cold and hot and cold.
So we remain in a position for the old crop where demand seems to be strong and there's not a lot of crop around. And then for new crop, we have a late planted crop, but at this point the market seems to be thinking that all of those acres will be planted that were planned for corn. How much of a yield reduction on those?
Well, that's where a delicate balance comes in. I don't know if the market feels all of them is going to be planted. You know, there's going to be some guys that take some prevent, plant some areas. That's going to be the delicate balancing act. We kind of feel that we could lose a little planted acre number. We'll probably lose more on harvested acre. Then we'll see trend line or the yield go back up to 160, 161 bushel of the acre. So we feel the adjustment's going to come in harvested acres. But, man, we've got between now and next January for them to get those numbers, you know, to jive. But we'll see how these reports go. Here at the end of the month, we'll have another acreage report, and we'll see what type of numbers they go with then.
And it's always a long, fun slog to January. We'll talk to you again next week, huh?
Very good.
All right. Thank you. That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and joins us here on the closing market report on this Monday afternoon. Somebody from the Bates Commodities office, almost always Kurt, joins us each and every Monday on the closing market report. If you'd like to hear him again, you can do that in a couple of ways. Visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Or if you can't get to the website and you can't hear us on the radio live, you can always dial this number, 217-333-3434. We call that one our mobile analyst portal. It's just voicemail posted with an update of either the opening or the closing market numbers and a bit of analysis at 10:15 and 3:15, relatively speaking, each and every day, Central Time. That's at 217-333-3434. Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take us through the agricultural news for this Monday afternoon.
In agricultural news, a top Fed official today says that it is difficult to draw consistent conclusions on the impact of its second round of quantitative easing aimed at supporting the economy. Philadelphia Federal Reserve Bank President Charles Plosser says, quote, "If you look at what happened in the United States since we undertook QE2, it's hard to tell a consistent story about what its effects were." Plosser also says that the U.S. economy is in a gradual recovery phase, and it is possible that the Fed could tighten policy before the end of the year. Representative John Carter, a Republican from Texas, has introduced an amendment that would prohibit the Department of Homeland Security from spending money on climate change adoption activities in fiscal year 2012. The proposal is an amendment to the DHS spending bill that currently is under consideration by the House Appropriations Committee. Carter says that climate change already is being studied by the Environmental Protection Agency and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and therefore does not also need DHS resources. In addition, a spokesperson for Carter says that the Texas Republican also sees the science linking climate change to human activities as questionable and prompted by people with a radical environmental agenda. The Obama administration is dumping the food pyramid for a simpler food plate icon. Obama officials released a new dietary icon that encourages Americans to fill half their plates with fruits and vegetables. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack says, quote, "We are not telling people what to eat. We are giving them a guide. What this is about is an obesity epidemic. The costs are high." The European Union will hold an emergency meeting tomorrow on the contaminated food crisis and its economic impact. EU farm ministers will convene at short notice in Luxembourg amid demands from farmers that they be compensated for the losses caused by the E. coli outbreak in Europe that has killed 22 and sickened more than 2,200 people. USDA says it has suspended three reports due to budget pressures, but releases such as the monthly crop report and weekly crop progress will continue. Halted were the Sheep and Goats report published in July, a census of agriculture and the 10-year ownership and transition of agriculture land survey, and quarterly reports on farm labor. Funding for the National Agricultural Statistics Service this fiscal year was cut by $5 million from the previous year. The House Appropriations Committee voted last week to cut NAS by an additional $7 million for the new fiscal year. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week. Both programs you can hear on our website at willag.org, along with all of our agricultural programming from the pre-opening market report to the closing mark report each and every business day, posted not long after they air on our radio stations. And you can sign up for our free weekend newsletter. It's all at willag.org. Now, up next, you know, given the early season growing conditions, farmers need to be very careful to evaluate the height and age of their crop before spraying it with a post-emergence herbicide. I'll have more on corn and weeds with Extension Weed Scientist from the University of Illinois, Aaron Hager, in a moment. The corn crop across Illinois and the Midwest, for that matter, is in a broad range of developmental stages, from just emerging to the 7 to 8 leaf stage, and beyond by now. A farmer should take care to note how tall and how many leaves are on their corn plants, collars too. It makes a difference in their post-emergence weed control applications. Applications that, if not handled properly, can injure the corn plant, says University of Illinois Extension weed scientist Aaron Hager.
For example, if we had a growth stage that applications, broadcast applications, should not be made, let's say, after V6 or 6-leaf collar corns, then the likelihood of crop response would go up sometimes fairly dramatically if those applications are actually made past that growth stage indicated on the label.
The key, of course, for weed control is to follow the restrictions listed on the label, though sometimes are listed as height and as growth stage.
Most products actually list both corn height as well as leaf number. Unfortunately, sometimes given growing conditions, the actual height of the corn plant is not always a true indicator of the actual physiological development of that corn plant. Most times, if we count leaves or leaf collars, then that number is generally agreed by many agronomists to actually give a better representation of the true age, if you would, of that corn plant.
Leaf counting begins with the short first leaf, the one with the rounded tip, and ends with the leaf that is at least 40 to 50% emerged from the whorl. Counting leaf collars also begins with the short first leaf, but includes only leaves with a visible collar. That's the light-colored band where the leaf joins the stem. Leaves in the whorl, or those without a fully developed collar, are not counted. If you are measuring height, generally it is determined by measuring from the soil surface to the arch of the uppermost leaf that is at least 50% emerged from the whorl. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural cash grain markets, Greg Johnson of the Andersons, right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Hello, Todd.
Well, the marketplace turned very quickly today to the downside. Will there be follow-through, in your opinion?
Probably. There's just not a lot of good news to... You have to remember we made new contract highs last week in new crop corn, so a 20-cent sell-off from all-time highs or contract highs, lifey contract highs this year, isn't the worst thing in the world. And for the next 3 or 4 weeks, assuming we get this corn planted, I don't know what else from a weather point of view would be considered friendly to cause us to make new contract highs. If it rains, we're going to say rain makes grain for the crops that are planted. And if it doesn't rain very much, they're going to say that small crops don't need a whole lot of rain. That'll just force them to root down a little bit more. And as long as we get good weather in July and August, the weather in June typically isn't a big market mover. So it's going to be tough to come up with some real friendly things, but I think everybody realizes that we're still a long ways away from having that crop in the bin.
So the next big thing might be the June 30 reports, both the quarterly grain stocks and the acreage reports?
Exactly. How much old crop corn do we have left? And, the acreage number will be subject to revision again, but at least it gives us an idea for what the government's thinking as of June 1.
As of June 1, which is an important distinction there, because as of June 1, there would have been a lot of acres that would be, I have no idea.
15 million acres probably weren't planted as of June 1.
That's right. So what do you see in the marketplace for the local area and basis today?
Basis level continues to be very strong. I really don't anticipate that we will see a lot of old crop corn or beans shake loose. Even with a sell-off, I think farmers are, if they've held on this long, they're probably going to hold on a little bit longer. I think they realize the downside is very limited, and so if they really want to hold on, they're going to wait and see what pollination does before they let loose of the rest of that old crop, corn and beans.
Is that scaring end users much?
It's keeping basis levels very firm. Anytime there's a little bit of a sell-off in the board, we see basis levels improve, and then when the board rallies, we really don't see the sell-off in the basis. So I think basis levels are going to continue to be firm throughout the summer.
You ready for wheat harvest season?
We were just talking about that today. So, yes, with this warm weather, I'm sure the wheat harvest will speed up and be here before we know it. So usually it's right around the 4th of July weekend, but with this heat, we may see some the last week of June.
All right. Thank you so much. What are your bids for the day?
Cash corn is 746, new crop corn 639. Cash beans are 13.88, new crop 13.43, and new crop wheat 7.24.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. In just a couple minutes, I'll be back with a look at the agricultural weather forecast.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's National Applesauce Cake Day. The first references to applesauce appeared in late 14th century Europe. On this day in agricultural history in 1882, Henry Seeley of New York City received the first American patent for an electric iron. He called this device the electric flat iron. It used a carbon arc to create heat, but it was not all that safe. A decade later, hand irons using electrical resistance were introduced by Crompton & Company. In 1899, James Ricks patented a rubber overshoe for horses. The patent says the shoe prevents a horse from slipping in sleety weather and is applied over the horseshoe in common use. The shoe was formed from rubber and canvas and was fastened to the hoof by a strap. And in 1932, the Revenue Act created the first gasoline tax in the U.S., 1 cent per gallon of gas. The 1 cent rate was maintained till just before the U.S. entered World War II, when, as a result of increased national defense requirements, the tax was increased. Prior to the 1932 Act, there had been reluctance on the part of federal officials and Congress to impose the tax at the federal level. Instead, they preferred to relinquish the revenue source to the states to help them finance their revenue needs. By the way, Oregon was the first state to levy a gasoline tax in 1919. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. The good folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, are on the phone line with us. John Davis is there. Thanks, John, to take us through today's weather forecast. Looks like it's going to be hot for a while here in the Midwest. What do you see?
It is. We're in a very warm pattern that's evolved over the last couple of days and basically through the end of the week. It looks like the warm weather will continue not only for the Midwest, but for much of the central and eastern sections of the country, with well above normal temperatures across the entire area.
Will it bake the soil shut?
Well, in most areas, it's a beneficial item, mainly due to the fact that, you know, most areas of the Midwest have had problems with excess moisture. And because of that, we had some real problems with late planting. So this warmth accelerates the crop across a lot of areas. Most sections of the Midwest have had more than enough moisture to avoid any kind of real problems with dryness and the topsoil moisture levels. And so for our practical purposes, the warmth that we're having right now is a highly beneficial situation across the Midwest. And the most important thing is that it will tend to make up some of the lag which have developed across the Midwest due to the late planting issues.
By the time we get to the end of the week with the higher temperatures and the quick evaporation rates, which I assume will come along with that, producers will be looking for a rainfall. Might there be something in the offing?
It does look like we are going to see some changes taking place, not so much this week, but next week. We are going to see the ridge of high pressure, which is the reason why we've had this warmth develop across the central and eastern U.S. We do expect that next week that ridge will slowly move west, or what we call retrogress across the country. That will allow two things to happen. Number one, it will allow cooler temperatures to come into initially the northern and eastern sections of the Midwest, and then allow for an increase in rainfall across the region too. And we feel that that progression of cooler and a bit wetter will not only take place next week, but even more so the week after.
And then take a look at around the globe at other hot spots. Maybe you should start with the southwestern part of the United States.
Well, across that region, we continue to see just, you know, drought conditions in Oklahoma, Texas, and the desert southwest. And at least in that area, really no sign of any kind of significant improvement in the situation across those locales. And with this ridge of high pressure moving back over the western U.S. during the second half of June, looks like they will continue to be in a stressful environment in that region.
Other parts of the world?
I think the big news is in Europe, where, of course, Western Europe has had major dryness issues during this spring season. Looks like they're going to go incredibly wet. That's already started over the weekend, and they continue to be very active this week and next week. So their pattern is totally changing around across Europe. And in Western Europe, they're actually going from an unusually dry pattern to a quite wet pattern. Very beneficial for their crops.
And close it out for me by taking a look at the Chinese corn and soybean crops.
Well, in that area, we continue to see generally good conditions across the bulk of that region, with some more rains coming into many areas, especially of North China. And overall, across that region, overall growing conditions at the present time continue to be quite favorable.
Hey, thanks so much, John.
My pleasure, Todd.
John Davis is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.